right, welcome back, Wolf Monkeys. This is J Bone Cabone. We got the normal trio here with Uncle Dave and Kingfish. Still no sign of J Riggs. He's just what he would call me is just a little bitch.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Don't mind Kingfish. He's got like, I don't know, COVID plus 10 right now. Whatever he has, so he might sound like shit.
I got up to take a piss last night and I slipped on the floor and hurt my goddamn pulled a groin muscle or something.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nuts are up inside me.
Okay, well maybe that's why, but
yeah, that's exactly it.
Little high pitched squeakles.
Oh, God.
Alrighty. So, now that we're back after a few weeks, yeah, it's only been 2 weeks, we're going to take a detour away from the hell was it we were talking about?
QAnon, baby.
Huh? Oh, yeah, the QAnon shit. We're gonna take a break from that.
I thought it was last week. We were on last week, you fuck.
No. We were just bullshitting. I didn't record any of that.
Well, that's right. Well, that you should have recorded. That probably was the best podcast you ever recorded.
But because of the reason we paused last week was because of all this shit going down in the crypto finance world with this FTX company pretty much just going under, and it's probably bigger than Enron ever was, right?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
So the first thing is to explain, well, what the hell is FTX? So FTX is a company that is essentially a currency exchange, but for specifically crypto type shit. And they only got started 3 years ago. In 2019, by our good buddy Sam Bankman-Fried, or Fried, I like to call him Fried because he's gonna get fried when they catch his ass. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very fitting name. Anyway, so that's essentially what FTX does. So how does a currency exchange make money? There's two ways they can make it, or they could use both the two ways to make it. One, they essentially charge you a fee for every transaction. Like a broker, right?
Yeah.
Like they always win. It's like, what was right. that show with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd? Trading places. Yeah, the best part is that they always, the Dukes always get their commissions, right? Who cares if you fucking lose or win? But they still get paid regardless.
They get paid no matter what.
Yeah.
Kind of like an undertaker, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what Eddie called him, says, you guys are nothing but a couple of bookies.
Yeah. In its simplest terms, that's the easiest way to say it. So anytime somebody does a buy or a sell.
That's it.
Yeah. You get...
Can I ask you something here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
What are they buying and selling? Stocks or?
Well, in this case, they're buying the cryptocurrency. So they're using their real money, fiat, government-issued greenback shit, right? To go in, they use that money, they trade it in, and then they either... So it can be done two ways, but it depends on the licensing. Is... You are essentially just putting your money in and it grows with the value of the coin that you decided to associate it with. So you're not really buying the coin. Like it's the same with like gold. If you invested in gold, you're not really buying the gold bar. You're just putting your money in and setting it aside that says, I want my money to be valued with the price of gold. Kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or... All right. if they have the proper licensing, you can actually buy the actual coin itself because, you know, God forbid if something happened to the fiat money, at least the crypto coin would still be there and you would still have value there, right? So it'd be like essentially buying the gold bar. Like, well, the fucking greenback economy tanked, but I still have gold bars that some people value for some reason. Okay.
Well, that's their biggest. That's their biggest put on is, you know, they're scared of people into buying this gold shit.
Yes.
How does a crypto coin get valued?
Well,
I mean, like, if I got on the internet and I said, "Hey, I got a Uncle Dave coin."
Which we can talk about that too. You can make your own shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That appeals to me a little bit.
I thought under our constitution and form of government, there's only one currency that we use in this country, and that's ours. We don't allow any other currency made by anybody, states, individuals, or foreign countries.
That's fine, but if
but that's the law. You can't just go make your own fucking money.
No, well, you can as long as people find value in it, and essentially, then the way you the legal loophole around that is, it's just the barter system. I'm just trading. The
15th Amendment forbids.
We know what you're saying.
I get what you're saying. They can't just go make their own, you know, Idaho dollars.
Right.
But in theory, with this system, they could. They could make Idaho crypto exchange, and it would be dissociated from the bank.
Okay, there's where the phoniness is. I guess I proved my point that 99% of the fucking people in this country are moronic. They're fucking morons.
Yeah, tell a lot of that.
You're going to take greenback money, 100 grand of your own fucking money, and buy some Bitcoin shit that the government does not recognize as real money.
Yeah, but it could be like this.
Any government.
It could be like this, that the state of Idaho, let's just, for example, a hypothetical situation. Let's not even use crypto as an example. Let's just use trees. They say trees are the only thing that you can trade in Idaho, right? But obviously trees must have a certain value outside. So to the U.S. government, that's going to be like, well, how many trees is 100 grand in your example, right?
Yeah.
Because we might need those trees, right? It only has value if anyone outside of Idaho needs trees.
Right.
If nobody else needs it, then Idaho's on their own and they're on their own little world and they can, you know, figure out how they're going to make trees work for them. Okay. Right.
There you proved the point right there. It only has value if somebody else wants it out of Idaho. Well, value to what? Bitcoin? Or the U.S. greenback.
We're saying to the U.S. dollar, like, how many trees, if Idaho is the only place that made trees, what is the U.S. dollar going to, how much is it going to take to get those trees out of that state and into the other people's places?
I don't know. All I know is out of 207 countries on the planet, 200 of them value the U.S. dollar. Okay, I don't know of any country out of the 207
why do they value it? Because it's stable. It doesn't move in value.
Because we're the most stable country on the planet. We're also the richest country on the planet.
There's a lot of legislation that protects it from going tits up like that. And it took a long time, like hundreds of years, for us to get to that point, but you could do the same thing with the tree situation. the tree price could, you know, maybe they have a fucking fire sale, like in a thunderstorm, okay, wipes out all of the trees in Idaho.
I understand. No, I really don't understand, because nobody's going to walk around with fucking tree trunks in their back pocket.
Yeah, but nobody's going to walk around with gold bars either.
No, that's why they went to paper. They've had paper since day one.
But that's the point, right? Like, if all the trees got sick and died in Idaho, the demand for them is very high, and so their price is going to fluctuate. The U.S. dollar didn't change at all. But if somebody invested trees into that dollar, then that affects that price, right?
I guess it does, okay? It's sooner or later, oil's going to run out, and it'll be worth $1 billion a gallon.
The thing is that fiat currencies, no matter what, even if the price went up and down, the government can just hit the reset button and say it's actually this. Actually is valued at this now.
Okay, I want to ask you something. I know this is off subject, but when it comes to these electric cars, like Tesla and them, the value of them and all that. But they say they're completely electric and they don't use fossil fuels. But I guarantee it, they must have hydraulics somewhere in those fucking cars. And that involves hydraulic oil of some kind. Whether it's brake fluid or what. Yeah, but
they're not burning it. They're not converting it to CO2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fine. Anyway, so back on subject here. So that's essentially a very gross, extreme example of, you know, but you can even take money out of it, right? Like, hey, if I have something I don't need anymore, but I think that you might need it, but in exchange for something you don't need for something that I need, that's essentially a currency exchange.
Okay. No, right? That's
hey, I got an old TV. You got an old stereo. Hey, let's trade.
Okay, you got 21st century currency exchange, but the real word is called barter.
Yes.
You got something I want, and I have something you want, so we trade.
Yeah, but it's locked in. You have a presumed value of what it is, right?
Now, for me to spend my good money on your fucking Bitcoin, you got to be out of your mind.
So let me ask you this, J-Bone. Okay. What did this guy start with? I mean, why would anybody think that he had some value to what he was?
I found this good quote online about Peter Lynch. He's a old school famous investor in the 80s, right? Pretty much gives like inspirational talks on how people should invest their money, but he breaks it down to its very simple science. And just like the trading places example where people make their commissions. he had this famous quote where he says, you know, even during the gold rush, it's essentially the miners that lost money. Right? They had all the risk on them. They either guessed right or they guessed wrong, right? However,
yeah, they took all the risk.
The reason it was so profitable for the rest of the economy was because you had a bunch of people that sold picks, shovels, tents, blue jeans, food, wagons, horses, you know. So all the people that contributed to that, they finally came out on top. That was where the gold was. And that's where these exchanges are and why there's so many is because if you're just charging people to make trades. That's it. You're just charging them a commission or a subscription fee. And
they're basic risk with transportation. But.
Yes, they're essentially risk-free, except for when they start making their own dumbass coins placing high value on them or putting all of their... I don't even know how you can get away with it in the accounting world, but... That's essentially why most of these go tits up is because they have the real money value is now all stored in their fake little coin.
You know, as soon as
people don't think it has value, guess what? Your company goes to shit and you lose all your money.
I don't think there's one Dole Field in America that has a big city on it. In other words, if you look at the gold fields in the past, they're all abandoned. You know, like Virginia City, Nevada, you know, that was a big gold or silver thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anywhere there's gold, they're either very small towns or they're non-existent. You know, they played out and ghost towns. But the gold fields of Northern California built San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco wouldn't even be nothing if it wasn't for those gold fields. Sacramento. You're right. The people that furnished the shovels made all the money.
Yeah. Anyone that lucked out with the actual mining, which you could say that, hey, people that got in early with crypto, yeah, they're the successful ones. They understood where it could and was going to go.
Right.
They probably could have never predicted that it would be $30,000 a coin at some point, you know, and I think it peaked at 60-some thousand. And then, you know, there's people predicting that after this, you know, fallout, it's going to peak again at $140,000 a coin.
Okay, did they sell? So the first in sold off and they made all their money and got the hell out, right?
Yeah, or they didn't get their money. I mean, there was cases where people had like 10 coins and bought a whole pizza with 10 coins. But that was back in a time when they weren't worth shit. So some people, how did you give 10 coins away for a pizza? And he's like, I was starving. I had no other job or income. All I had were these coupon type fucking things. Essentially, it'd be like, essentially crypto is like if somebody could go out and, you know how people clip all the coupons out of newspapers? They call them couponers.
Well, you know what?
Have you ever done that or met people that do that shit?
No, I don't do shit like that. But there are people that do.
Uncle Dave, have you heard of that?
What's that?
Couponer type people?
Yeah, I know somebody that does that or did it. Yeah. Maybe still does.
Yeah, and they essentially can live off coupons. They don't even pay the full value. They just go in and buy like, all right, 20 boxes of bleach. Okay, it's free. Because look at the coupons. They stack the coupons. Right. I think it's technically illegal, but the store doesn't want to do anything about it. Then, you get 20 Clorox bleaches for like 98 cents or some shit. Anyway.
Yeah, and
instead of taking the coupon and getting the actual goods with it, why don't you just go on an exchange and say, hey, I have all these coupons for 20 boxes of Clorox bleach. 20 boxes of Clorox bleach is this much money in regular money. So how about you give me, a little discount and I'll give you these coupons. And that way you can buy your 20 boxes of bleach and you can sell them and cut the difference and make a profit or just have 20 boxes of bleach. You know what I mean? So it's like.
In the criminal world, they call that fencing, don't they?
Yeah,
it's essentially the same thing, but now it's with the digital asset rather than coupons.
So what's the conspiracy behind the Bitcoin?
Well, we'll get to that, but we're trying to explain. We're trying to explain what this is so that people understand that it's not overwhelmingly complex. In fact, all I did was go into Google and be like, "How do I start my own exchange?" And it was like the first thing was like 10 simple steps. It says, okay, let's go through this list. It says, obtain proper legal counsel and ensure licensing requirements are met. That's essentially, make sure you understand the law.
And, or lack thereof.
Yeah, or the lack thereof. Or, that's a pencil whip exercise, of course, to our friend Sam here. He's like, check, move to Bahamas. There we go.
Yeah, that's where he is.
All right, then.
I think he's in the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's where the FTX was founded. It's headquartered in.
But where is Bahamas. He at?
I don't know where he's at.
Oh.
I mean, I'm no rocket scientist, but that'd be kind of a red flag to me right off the get go. But
That you're not even in the U.S. Like I'd be like, this sounds like a scam. Well, I'm not sure why. I'm sure there's reasons for why he chose it. I think it's because they don't have as much. There's not as many eyes. Right. If you did his operation in the U.S., you'd be like so scrutinized. Well, maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. All right. Number two, attain funding for venture. Okay, so I guess you got to get people to invest in you. But I was actually looking at it, and really, to only start up, you only need about $150,000 to start one of these exchanges. The only reason you need further funding is because you want to make sure that you have stability going forward in case.
Okay, let's clarify starting up an exchange. Is it called an exchange or a fucking pyramid scam?
Well, it depends on if you disobey the first objective, which is understand the legality. We'll just skip to step number two. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, let's go right to door number two. Yeah,
we're gonna go right to that. So
what
platform do these?
I come back as a TV evangelist, and I want to get right to door number two where the money is.
Okay, what were you going to say, Uncle Dave?
What entity does this take place on? The stock market or what?
Well, okay, that's where you go to step number three. You want to find the exchange software solution provider. So this whole exchange is, it's just software. That's really all it is. But is it software that you need to develop and make out of thin air? No. There's people that have already done this shit for you, and that's why you need the $100,000, because they're going to charge you $100,000 for it. And so you go buy your software, and it could be any. Now, there's two ways. Like I said, you could either develop it all from scratch yourself, which that's going to suck, right? Because if it fails, the sell button is actually a buy button, you know, all those little fucking things that if they are fucked up, that's all on you, right? Whereas what they call white label is you go and buy somebody's engine, they license it you, and then they show you how to customize it to your look and, you know. And lo and behold, that's what FTX did. The only way they could get started that fast is they had to go white label. So they went and purchased somebody else's software, customize it to their own needs. Hold on a second. God damn. And then they just resell it and repackage it as if it's their own shit. And then they charge a fee for that. So a lot of these exchanges is just setting up the software and then getting it set up. Now, step number four is getting it set up so that it works with other exchanges. So it talks to these other ones. And, you know, the more that you're connected, the more liquidity that you have so that people can get easier access to their money and all that shit. then you want to partner with a payment processor, which is how it does all the automatic fee stuff. This is essentially your end of getting money, right? Really, all your software is just keeping a record of where people's money is at. But for you to get paid, you got to set that up too. And then implement best security practices. Let's be honest, FTX, let's skip number six. Go right to live beta testing.
sounds like you were gonna have a startup company here, IPO.
I guess. Essentially you want to make sure it's secure so people can't hack in and, you know, fuck with your shit. Take people's money, put, you know, black market shit in there. Then you beta test it, you get some people to try it out, whatever. Then you market it and send out your PR campaign. Then you set up a customer support system. And then you maintain a legal team for ongoing compliance when you get audited and all that other shit. Again, another thing that FTX probably, you know, didn't And then that's it. That's how you make an exchange. Not in a physical place.
And now, let's get the main ingredient into this thing. And the reason this works so profitable is because most people on the planet are greedy.
Yeah, I mean, how easy, because that's the whole thing I wondered about this, was how do these people just, it says, oh, this guy worked on Wall Street, and then he's like, yo, fuck it, I'm going to go make my own exchange. I was like, how do you even do that? Well, right. I just told you. And to, right. you know, to any layman out there that has 100,000, you can make one.
Yeah, but the point is, 99% of the people on the planet are lazy, and they just give their money, the 100,000, to this guy and let him invest it. And that's how it all snowballed.
Well, no. So here's where his shit went bad, was usually part of the marketing PR campaign, right? Because I could go make one, but who's going to fucking use mine? They've never heard of me. They don't trust me, right? So how do I get people in? Well, hey, if you put in the work to help advertise and, you know, get other people on board, I'm going to give you one of my own little Bitcoins that I just made up. And now it has value. And as long as it has value and people continually contribute, aka you see where I'm going with this, then you're going to make some good returns, baby. You understand what I'm saying?
An individual just can't go and make fucking money. They can't mint fucking coins.
No, essentially it's like little coupons.
But the gaming,
but the gaming business is super. They've been doing this forever, and that's probably why all this code existed. It's like,
right.
If you play a little game and you play long enough, you get little rewards here and there, right? And they might give you, like, you know, something they call gold, right? And after you get 100 gold, you can cash it in for little prizes and shit. It's the same thing with, like, you know, old school Sports Illustrated. Like, hey, if you go sell 100 candy bars, you can have a bike. And it's like,
So for our listeners, let's keep this simplistic. Let's get away from that tech shit. Bitcoin is like a fucking casino chip. So if you take the casino chips home with you, they have no fucking value anywhere other than at the casino that you played, right? Is that what it's like? Huh?
Well, in this guy's case, yeah, it could be like that, right? It's like you're like a credit card. You know how they give you rewards? Like, hey, every dollar we're going to give you a 5-cent reward, but you can only cash it in for our credit card prizes. Or, you know, what good is it anywhere else? Fuck it. Nobody gives a shit about that. But if I could trade that away, if I'd be like, hey, I actually don't want my discount. I'd rather just have cash. I'll go trade it to somebody and they pay me for it. Now, credit card companies aren't stupid. They just offer you the hey, do you want cash off on your next purchase? There, that's easy. Cash in your reward or get prizes, right? That prevents that kind of fraud from happening, right?
They're not going to give you real cash. No fucking.
Yeah, they'll just let you take the cash and cash it in on your next purchase or something like that.
Right.
I do it all the fucking time. Anyway,
a percentage.
Yeah. The difference here is what I tell people with why you want to invest in a crypto coin. Because you got to understand how the coin gets physical value. Right? That's why I always try to tell people. It's like, does it mean something that if somebody can't work for it, then it shouldn't have value, in my opinion.
Right.
And the more work they have to do to get it, then the more valuable it should be. Just like getting gold out of the ground. Like, hey, the guy that's willing to get that shit out of the ground, we should reward him handsomely for doing it, right? Thus, we're going to give him some money, or aka a coupon of appreciation. But that coupon of appreciation is highly valuable now, right? And that's how these things used to work is... you had to go in and do a lot of work to get these things, you know, mine them out. And the way it works for Bitcoin, which I think is the easiest one to understand out of all of them, is that when people actually do trade the coin back and forth, because of the security behind it, it takes a lot of computing power. And so if you're willing to let your computer have access to some of that computing power, and if your computer does the most of the work, then you should get rewarded for allowing your shit to do that calculation, right? Thus, they give you a fraction of a coin to do it, right? However, there's only so many coins. Once they run out, that's it. Then there's no reason to do the work anymore. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
No.
So are you
I get that. I understand.
I don't. You're telling me
Go ahead.
Are you telling me there's a limit on, like, Bitcoins, for example? Yeah. There's only so many in existence?
Yeah,
there's only 100 of them, Dave.
I think by 2024, they'll all be mined out. And then that's it. That's the max that there will ever be forever.
And what dictates that?
It's whoever set up the coin, they have it so that... I think it's like every 2 years it cuts the amount or the rate at which they come out. But essentially, if you do the math right, there's only going to be a finite number. Now, some have unlimited, like you can generate as many as you want. And thus, they're not obviously as valuable, right? Because of inflation. If they're easy to get, then who gives a shit?
When you get close to that finite number, if Bitcoin just doesn't say, well, we decided we're going to release another.
Well, I think that's the thing is, though, that even if you're still doing the calculations, I think then it will change over to a system where, hey, you're going to get paid the fee. You get the fee for doing the exchange. So it will switch to a fees business. But I don't want a little fee. I want the coin. Now, they probably pay you in a fraction of a coin, but it's nowhere near what you were getting for doing the shit before, right? But there's whole businesses. Like, there's one called, I forget what it's called, but it's like a Bitcoin farm where all they do is have these high-end supercomputers that do all these calculations. And they try to grab up all the... So somebody like me at home can't, you know, do the... and get my own coin, they're going to steal it from me because they have a more powerful setup, right? All right, what were we going to say, Kingfish?
So basically, this is just all software bullshit. And it's,
yeah, that's why it's crypto. It's electronic currency.
So basically, for everybody out there listening,
I like how you try to sound like an expert.
It doesn't take three brain cells to figure this
Kingfish out. FTC chairman. Anybody else want to second that?
Fucking Christ. You know, I don't even trust fucking U.S. dollars, for Christ's sake. You know, what the fuck are they worth now?
$1.
$1.
So this, if I understood... And I actually watched two different videos on this, or part of the second one. But if I understand this right, this really kind of put a pretty big hurt on the Bitcoin and those other ones too, didn't it, as far as their value?
Well, I mean, when you see a company that was essentially number two, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, and it had a valuation of $32 billion and all that stuff, and then it just goes under... You're just going to associate it with something going wrong with, you know, the cryptocurrency in general, right? Like, who else is next? Is everyone else affected? Let's make a run on our money. Let's get out while we can. And so that just drops the price of everything, right? So it's just, I think that's just fear factor. in this. And
it seems to me, I mean, you know, obviously this wasn't a real well-run organization.
Yeah, it was piss for a run.
But it seems to me like that would be a natural instinct. And maybe point to the fact that this stuff's all a sham.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, that would be in my mind. I've never had anything in it, and I never would plan to have anything in it, but I always thought this stuff was just smoke and mirrors from the get-go, but what do I know, I guess?
I would say now it would be smoke and mirrors. Whoever got in way before this shit ever became popular, for whatever reason, they're the ones that are lucked out. Now, back to this FTX guy and his token, you know, obviously, you know, the work to get that token is, oh, just refer a friend. We'll give you some tokens. You know what I mean? Oh, do so many trades a month. Oh, give you some tokens. You know, you're essentially just getting rewarded for using their stupid app, right? Not a lot of real work involved in that. But then they start saying that, oh, hey, you can trade this now. You can trade these tokens. Well, what the fuck worth are they? Well, it doesn't matter. I can trade them for real money or other coins. And now all of a sudden they have value. Except when you decide to give all the tokens away to your backup business that's failing, essentially. And then once people found out that he was doing that, that's when the big investor was like, oh, I'm going to take my $500 million out. I'm done.
Now, the business that was failing.
This Alameda Research. I don't even know if it was failing. It was just they were just moving assets over to that side and then just spending them like crazy.
Yeah. But weren't they doing stock market stuff too, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, they were originally a stock exchange, I think. Or like a hedge fund type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I took it. But,
and I think the way what was happening was he would send the actual assets or people's money. And it's not the people that were using the app. It's the people that gave him the venture, you know, like what I said, you know, step two, obtain that funding for venture, all the investment money to get your platform going. He was sending that over to that other company, right? And then using that money from that company to invest in the stupid token of his own business. So when you looked at the books, they're like, wait, the value of your company, what is this token shit you have? And they're like, yeah, all our money's in that token. That token's strong. It's like, what happens if that token tanks? What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean? When it tanks, all that money is worthless. It's not, you didn't put it in real investments. And two, you can't switch, you know, you can't take investors' money from one, you know, area and then send it to another business without them knowing about it. So really, I think the whole sham is not really about the crypto platform. That's why I had to go look up all this stuff about what is the exchange actually. It's like if I was to use his app and I put 100,000 in it, he doesn't get 100,000. Okay. He's not taking 100,000 of my money. That 100,000 is going to some other type of bank. Like I said, the payment processors, right? And the others added liquidity. So the people using the shit to invest, probably unaffected, right? Because they're not really receiving the money from them, right? That's how the code works. However, if I was like, hey, I'm going to invest in FTX directly, that's where it gets a little shady. Like, okay, I'm going to give you $200 million and to help your business because I think you're valued it. And I want you're saying I can get a 15% return on my money or whatever. okay, cool. Yeah, we'll sign that deal. And then, oh, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to go take it over to this other company that I have that you don't know about. And then I'm just going to buy up my token with it. and hyperinflate my stupid token to make it look like it has real value. And those are the people that got fucked. I don't think, like, Enron, there was, like, normal people that got fucked over. In this case, I think it was just the super elite that got fucked over. not basic users of the program.
Right. And you know they're gunning for that little fuck.
What one?
I'm sure that they're gunning for him. They got contracts out on his ass.
Yeah. Well, or they just have to, you know, take one on the chin and be like, yeah, we were dumb fucks. We didn't do our research. Or, hey, why'd we let little Timmy Two-Tone access to our $200 million one account, and then he went all in on a fucking, you know, fluffy-haired Bahamas outfit.
Right.
Like, oh, because he plays League of Legends while he's making the deal?
What I don't understand is... All the donations he made to all these politicians, was this to protect him against going to prison or what?
Or to
do whatever he did illegally and they protected him?
There was some bullshit if you watch the thing. I don't know if you remember seeing Uncle Dave where they were talking about, oh, all he wants to do is help people.
Yeah,
right. Some bullshit like that, some sob story about, I just want to help people.
Sure. Save the world or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was going to end world hunger.
Yeah, some stupid bullshit.
Right. Which will never happen.
Yeah. Now the only thing I don't understand is how he himself was worth $16 billion. But when you look at their numbers, okay, they make revenue of $1 billion a year, roughly. Okay. But their operating income is $272 million. So that means at least a good $750 million is going to the shit show operation that's running this thing. Because operating income is what does it cost to keep this shit going, right? Well,
right.
When you take that away from revenue and you only have $272, it's like, well, wait, what? Why does it cost $750 million to run this? Oh, because you guys are signing fat checks. I gotcha.
Right.
For yourselves. Right? Because all I said was this is just a white label outfit. They're using somebody else's shit that's already pre-built. They just slapped their logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that cost $750 million to keep going? It doesn't. It shouldn't. But, you know, these guys just want fat checks, I guess. Oh, I want to save more hunger. Well, how about you, how about you go nonprofit?
Well, how about if you come to work every day instead of stay home?
Well, you can't stay home. That's the beauty of this business.
I know.
You just set it up at home and you're ready to go. I would say the only thing that you got to, you know, you probably invest a little bit more is because if you get lots of users, you're probably going to need a decent, you know, server setup. But that's not that hard to do.
You take one of your bedrooms and you make it a server then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, let's do it.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was like, how hard is this? This isn't hard at all.
I mean, I would rely on you for the technical expertise, and I'll be more than happy to spend a bunch of the money.
Yeah, it would just be, you just essentially have somebody that knows basic code, the company, like, there's a bunch of these engines out there. I was just looking at this one called Modulus. But they sell Exchange engines, which are essentially software packages that allow you to customize it to your own liking, but it's already pre-set up to work with all the exchanges out there. So, really, all you're doing is changing the colors and the fonts, like a web page, right? And then they do the rest. Now, you could do your own if you want to make it even more custom.
Well, one of us here already has a web page. We could just put it on there.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And away we go.
I would say the only thing that actually takes real work is the maybe the marketing and the PR thing, and maybe just getting donors to give you enough money to, you know, keep going forward.
Yeah, is that what you call them, donors?
Yeah.
I used to like to play poker with those kind of people.
Yeah, and I think this whole thing with the FTX thing, and I may be wrong, but essentially I think it's getting confused as what happened to some of these other exchanges like Luna. Luna really screwed over people that actually contributed money to it, but that's because it had the illusion of looking like a bank. Essentially, when people were saying that there was a run on FTX for their money, it was the investors. It wasn't the regular users, because that's not how an exchange works. Exchange is, you know, like the simple old stock exchange back in the day. All an exchange back in the day was just some guy getting up on his wagon and be like, "All right, I got some investments in Coca-Cola out here. Who wants to trade me some shit for it?" That's an exchange. Simple and done, right? But if somebody was to invest in that guy's wagon and then he crashes the wagon, that's fucked. How you get fucked, right? And so when people are saying in the news, and I think that's why it was confusing me, is like, oh, everybody made a run on their money. And I was like, no, everybody made a run on their investment. They wanted to get their investment back. Didn't realize that Samboy went and spent it all on shit that wasn't even relevant. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what he spent it on? In fact, they say right now, I think in the investigation, $2 billion of it, they don't even know where it's at. They don't. It's like $2 million just didn't. It existed at one point, and then it was gone. What happened to $2 billion? It's just gone. There's no record of it.
He gave hundreds of millions of dollars to all the fucking politicians.
Yeah.
I don't know how many hundreds he gave to these fucks for their handout.
Well, in that show, they said he gave $37 million to the Dems and $25 million to the Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah. Didn't say that.
Well, this is probably of his own personal money, but remember, they're writing fat checks over there. You get $1 billion a year. Yeah. And you only have like a 12-person outfit.
Can you believe Elmo got rid of 75% of his personnel at Twitter, and the fucking company is running like a top?
Yeah, it's the Pareto rule.
I mean,
you never heard of that? 80% of all the work is done by 20% of your workforce?
Yeah. That's like 85% of the crime is done by...
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it does. Same thing.
Hey, speaking of that, did you see that headline where four upstanding citizens tried to hijack this gal's car? I don't know where it was at, in Washington or somewhere. She shot the first son of a bitch in the head.
Oh.
God damn. I didn't see that.
He come up to the window and was waving a gun at her, and she shot him in the head.
Did she have her window? Hey,
no, she shot him through the window. She didn't roll.
Oh shit, man, that's my kind of woman. I need to find that shit. That's future ex Mrs. Rizzoli there, baby. God damn.
Anyway,
shot him right through the fucking glass. Yeah. God damn.
Sorry to get off.
I like that.
Anyway, yeah.
Go ahead. What backed up these? I guess they're not loans; they're investors, right?
Yeah.
What? How does this outfit back that up? You know, I mean, how do they say, "Here's our collateral" or whatever? You know, did these fucking idiots just give them money kind of on the come or what?
I have no idea why you would invest in something like this, especially now that I'm looking it up. It's like, you don't need this kind of, like, as soon as somebody wrote him $1 million check, that's all he needed. He didn't need any more than that.
Okay, I think Uncle Dave is trying to figure out, what is the point of this? You know, why even why even have this cryptic coin? I mean, what purpose in life would it give to me?
I'm hearing his question differently. It's like, if I had $100 million at my company and I wanted to invest in his company, how do I know I'm going to get my $100 million back plus whatever I think I'm going to get?
Well, you don't.
Is that what you're asking, Uncle Dave?
Yeah, I mean, every time I ever borrowed money, I had to collateralize it somehow.
Right.
Okay, so here's how it is. It's like, well, maybe they didn't have collateral. That's, I don't know what their deal was. I mean, the guy was playing video games when he was doing these deals with these people, so who knows? But generally the way it works is just watch like Shark Tank. You know, like those guys that, you know, come on and they pitch some fucking new sponge for a toilet or some shit, and then the fucking people duke it out for like whether it's a shit deal or not.
Right.
But they'll usually say, hey, I'll give you $100,000, but I want a 10% equity, which means, yes, I want to own 10% of the company, which means then as the company grows, I get 10% of the profits, right?
Right.
And then eventually I'll get my $100,000 back, but then I'm going to, as long as I stay in it, I'm going to keep making more, right? And that's the whole point of it, is that, hey, when these people give $100 million to this guy, and then they say, oh, well, the company's worth $32 billion. And it's like, okay, well, when I gave him $100 million, that was like 20% of the company. So 20% of $32 billion sounds like a good deal to me. But who's going to come along and buy him for $32 billion other than Elmo?
Yeah.
But the idea is that, hey, if you're worth, if somebody's, you know, especially, some sort of, I don't know how they rank these valuations, but, you know, they do it on projected growth and returns and all that stuff. But to find the true value of a company, because they're only making $1 billion a year, right? So how are they worth $32 billion? Like, well, the idea is after X amount of years, and you come and you take all their assets and everything, and you know the projected value.
Okay. Explain to me what the assets this outfit has for $32
Pretty much
billion.
Just the software. I don't think they owned any property or buildings or anything.
There you go, Uncle Dave. That's what you own, the software. You know anything about software? No.
No.
We're fucked.
Yep.
You know, I want to see land.
The software is only worth $100,000.
$100 company better own half of Montana, okay? I want to see land.
Essentially, when you invest in a company like this, you're essentially investing in a brand. That you hope is going to, you know, have long longevity, like the Nike brand. You know, it's just shoes, but you know, I'll pay $300 for a swoosh. You know what I mean? And other than that, you get nothing. You just gotta hope that they're gonna attract more people over time. But like I said, I just told you how easy this shit is to do, and anybody can start these up. And so there's no what would Warren Buffett call it? There's no differentiation or nothing that makes you unique compared to everyone else, right? Like Coca-Cola is the only place that makes Coca-Cola.
Right.
But
yeah, nowhere else.
I don't have to use FTX. I can use Binance. I can use Coinbase. I can use this crypto.com thing. You know, there's other exchanges I can use. Hell, Fidelity's getting one going. Weeble has one. Robinhood's been there for a while.
Like, we could use
the more people that do this shit, the more saturated it becomes, and you're gonna eventually plateau. There's nothing that makes you unique.
We could use the BDJ exchange.
Yeah.
You know. That's
He had 300 employees. Ooh, whoop-de-doo.
300. At least he had employees.
Why do you need 300? It's well, obviously he didn't buy the ones that Step 10 should have said was, hey, get a legal team. and make sure people are following the rules.
Yeah, to make the, you know, the pyramid work, look legit. So he had 300.
I guess.
Anyway, well, three is the triangle, right? Three angles.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, it's like everyone thinks is Doofy fucks a genius. Now, there's a difference. Elmo would have built his own. He wouldn't have bought it.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you guys. You know, Elmo's thinking about building his own phone now. Right. No, that'll end fucking iPhone, you know, Apple. They'll be done. Because if he builds his own phone, he'll have his, you know, satellite service set up. And, you know.
Well, hopefully if he does, then...
Well, you know. Because they're threatening, Google's threatening to take, you know, you know, if he releases everybody that's already been censored or been kicked off Twitter, okay. They're going to shut his engine down. And he said, fuck you. Well, I'll have my own app, my own phone.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was Apple that said they wouldn't let it.
Yeah, Apple. Fuck them. Communist pricks.
I think my theory on this is, I had a guy tell me a long time ago, he ran a business that from what I could see really was never profitable as far as actually making money.
Right.
I know their debt to asset ratio had to have been tremendous. But anyway, I asked him one time. He used to play cards with him. And I said, you know, how does this work? I said, I don't understand how you guys can do what you're doing, you know, and get financed and this and that and the other thing. He says, it's all about market share. He said, we're capturing a large market share in our market, you know, what they specialized in.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, our whole goal is when we get to a certain point of that market share, because we're able to keep financing based on that, we're going to sell out to one of the big boys and make a whole lot of money. And you know what? They did.
Mm-hmm.
Made a shit pot full of money doing that.
Yes. And that's what Samboy should have done here.
Well, I think maybe I'm wondering if, well, I don't know if he was smart enough to think that way or not, but he almost pulled it off because in that thing I was watching, this other dude was going to buy him out even at a reduced price.
I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, that was his competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the conspiracy is. There's multiple conspiracies in here. But we'll end it because we're pretty much approaching our hour.
Yeah, okay.
But we'll end it with my conspiracy one, which is a good point. That CZ, this Chao Zhang guy who owns Binance, is the one that essentially tipped everyone off that this was bullshit. And he essentially said, hey, and it was all Twitter. He was, you know, it's not like an official press announcement. That's why Twitter's so dangerous, because people go on there and say shit. And if you have any sort of influence, people are just going to believe you. He's like, I'm out. There's some shady shit. I'm done. And I'm taking my $580 million out of this investment with them. Yeah, FTX. Everyone else is like, holy fuck, what's happened? We better pull out too. And that's how essentially it initiated the downfall. Well, then he decided, hey, well, I might as well buy them because, yeah, I might as well take over their outfit. But then that's when he was looking through their books and be like, nope, it's way more fucked than I could have even predicted with my original tweet. I am definitely out now.
Yep. The interesting thing is, and see, to me, that's just as bad as what happened.
You're supposed to publicly announce, but you're supposed, because it's not regulated, he doesn't have to do it through the SEC. He can just do it on Twitter. He's just being a nice guy. Just saying. But why let everyone else know? Why let everyone else know? Well, he's a competitor. And what was your competitor trying to do? Oh, he was trying to make it so that foreign companies that are doing these same exchanges are no longer allowed to exist, or they can't work through without, you know. And, you know, some of those videos I had you watch, Uncle Dave, and, you know, Kingfish, is that, hey, oh, who's you know, ugly ass girlfriend's dad is, you know, part of this whole thing that can make this happen for me. Oh, so now there's a whole government tie thing. Oh, why are all these political donations to the left and right going in? Oh, because I want to make it exclusive that this is the only way you can do currency exchange crypto-wise in the United States by law. Which fucks out China, right? Now, CZ's going to come in and be like, no, fucking not happening. Guess what? I'm pulling out of your shitty-ass business. Oh, guess what? It just unleashed the fucking widow's nest of, you know, fucking spiders crawling all over the place. And it's way more disgusting than we could have imagined.
Well, what I think this kid was doing about that is now they're investigating him, too, though.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, why would you tip people? You see, so that's, you know, eventually, you know, you know, people are going to learn their own lessons from this. Is that my guess is he's just like, I had no idea how shitty or fucked up they were. It was a whole publicity. That's the only way he can come out of this clean, I think, is he just has to admit that, yeah, I purposely wanted to fuck their company over by pulling out. But he's like, hey, they were doing well. They don't need my investment. No, they weren't doing that well.
He only pulled out a half a billion, and then fucking company's worth $32 billion, right?
No, that, because that's a projected cost. That would be like, hey, I just bought my house for, you know, $200,000, but the true value of the house is now $400,000. But I just bought the house. It's like, nah, but the true value is $400,000. Oh, okay. Anyone want in on that so I can sell this place?
Right.
You know what's interesting about all of this is
bullshit.
Before you go, but that's what like Uncle Dave was saying about his buddy's situation, right? Like, hey, you're only making $1 billion a year or whatever, but somebody came out and said, hey, you're worth $32 billion. So if anyone came along with, you know, approached that company and said, hey, well, how about we give you $25 billion and we take you over?
Right.
You know, something like that. Okay, fuck it. That's a good payout. Divide that among 300 employees and the investors. Win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, it looked to me like it basically caved in just a little too early for them. But,
yeah.
If that was their goal, now I don't know that it was. I don't know, if they were smart enough to.
I think they just got way too greedy and way too stupid at the same time. I think they were trying to inflate their token coin to be competitive and probably wanted it to take over the dominant ones, which are like Ethereum and Bitcoin, and didn't work out. And somebody, you know, all they had to do was just kick over the fucking, you know,
ant hill. At the time, weren't they like number three or something?
Yeah, they were getting close to number two, and
so they were definitely going to attract the attention of the big boys.
Yeah, which was CZ. Binance is the biggest one, but he had no intention of buying them for $32 billion. He just was more threatened by the fact that, hey, this guy has a lot of ties to the U.S. political climate. I'm stuck over here in China, and we're already getting fucked around with our own country and, you know, all this, you know, restrictions between us and the U.S. And this is just one more log on that fire of me getting fucked over. And, okay, I'm going to pull out. And by me doing so, hopefully, hopefully it makes this guy bleed a little bit. Oh, whole shit. It made him go under. Oh, fuck. My bad. Fingers crossed while saying that.
Well, what I was going to say was, ironically, I just watched that video this afternoon, or a couple of them. But before that, last few nights, and I've watched a few in the past, but I sat down and watched all of the Men Who Built America.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever watched any of those, but you should. You know, we're talking Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan.
The original Fat Cats, yeah.
Carnegie
and Vanderbilt. It's fascinating because it kind of falls into a little bit of this as to how some of the manipulations were done. And
but see, the only thing that I can't feel bad about them compared to today's assholes is the shit they worked on is very tangible and difficult to establish, right? Like setting up a whole railroad network, setting up all the steel production, you know, and then somebody to come in and say, oh, well, you can't be as big as you are. You got to share that shit. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Get the fuck out of here with that.
But they broke up Standard Oil, you know.
Now, to be fair, yeah, they broke up the steels. They broke up the railroad businesses. Yeah, they broke up everything. In the long haul, yes, fucking them over like that was okay. Because, hey, they had already made it to the top. But I think what they were trying to say is, how does the government know what's best for what steel prices should be?
Right.
Why break us up when it's been okay the way it is? Right. The only reason that shit would happen today is because people do get screwed over with monopoly type situations. What's a good one right now? Oh, I just read about it. Steam. Steam is a gaming platform where essentially you're allowed to come in and purchase, and it's pretty much the only platform where you can come in and get games. It's not a public company. It's a privatized company. But essentially now they have monopoly antitrust violation suits going out against them because they're the only one, and people feel like they were getting price manipulated into buying certain products. Forced to only use this platform.
Yeah. Well, didn't Microsoft go through the same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft's case was, it was like they owned everything.
Everything.
They fractured into what now is, you know, Adobe and, you know.
Yeah.
Some of these other outfits, right? It's one thing to make the operating system, but then another thing to make all the software that works best with the operating system. It essentially screws everyone out from...
Right.
Well, what I find interesting in all of that is... if you look at today's super companies that were split up, you know, literally the same people still own them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
Rockefeller made more money after they forced him into splitting up than he ever did before. because he owned a part of all of those companies, a large part of
them. Or you could invest in them now. So if you weren't already in them, now, hey, new IPO right out. Boom. I'm buying all of it up because I know it's already a good business.
Right.
Who's going to compete with it? Oh, fuck. Thanks, U.S. This is way better than what we were thinking.
Exxon and Standard or Chevron. I mean, they're the same outfit. I mean, they're owned by the same people.
Yeah. It's the same dumb reason when you have the U.S. try to, especially government people, because I had to say it, it's always the hand-me-down people that work for the government. So when they come up with their little plans and schemes for things, it really doesn't go as well as...
God, King Fish, he just added two more weeks to your...
what?
Your way.
What?
Well,
why?
Because of what he just said.
I didn't say anything against
it. I know you didn't, but he added it for you.
Your bands and shit.
Yeah.
I think the most famous one was when the
aircraft,
when the military, the Defense Department, they didn't need all the radio frequencies anymore, so they were going to auction them off. Bad thing to auction. You should have just set a price. Well, now all the major phone companies at the time were going to compete for the airwaves. Right. Well, the problem is U.S. government had never heard of game theory. The fat cats that work for these big major phone companies did know about game theory, and there was no stipulations or rules against using game theory. So they all got together and said, "Hey, what are you going to bid? What do you think it's value to you?" They're like, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "Well, if you only want 20% of the airwaves, we'll let you get it for whatever price you want. But you got to give us like 25%, right?" So they all agreed to be like, "Hey, if we all just go 20-20-20 between the five big wigs at the time, then whatever they start the bid price is, AT&T, you go first, and we won't challenge your bid." And, you know, the government thought they were going to they thought they were going to wipe away national debt with this fucking auction. And then they actually lost money because it took more money to set up the auction than it did from what they got out of the auction. And then they tried suing them. But guess what? Who had better lawyers? Oh, the big wigs.